The theme of the scriptures is the promise of Christ and the coming of Christ and the meaning of that. And you can lose that in pietism.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the White Horse Inn radio show, speaking at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference.
The common emphasis is the emphasis on sanctification. Sounds good, biblical, it is. But you get the emphasis on the wrong syllable, and we'll lose our own children.
You can listen to Dr. Rosenblatt's presentation, Making the Case Against Pietism, and all of our presentations from this year's conference on our new audio DVD. For a donation of $300 to Issues, Etc. before Labor Day, we'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo on our homepage, issuesetc.org.
On the fifth ballot for presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, may we see the results now. Elizabeth Eaton, 600. Mark Hansen, 287. That concludes our report.
On the basis of this report and the decision of this assembly, I do hereby declare the Reverend Elizabeth Eaton declared duly elected to a six-year term as the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
The voices of Phil Harris and Vice President of the Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Pena, announcing the election by a rather large margin, but on a fifth ballot, of the first female presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. That's the headline coming out of the Churchwide Assembly of the ELCA. What else has been happening there, and how has the media been covering it? Molly Ziegler-Hemingway joins us. She's a reporter in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for having me back here.
Molly, let's begin with this headline from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. I read it before. Lutherans elect first female presiding bishop. What's your take on that headline?
This is a common problem when writing about religious groups, is to refer to a subgroup as if it's the larger group. Lutherans comprise, you know, there are millions of Lutherans in America, and the largest Lutheran group in the United States is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, with more than 4 million members. But there are many other groups of Lutherans, and there are other large groups of Lutherans, and they don't share a lot doctrinally. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has female priests. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod retains the male-only ordination practice that's traditional to Christianity. And that's just one example of the major differences in confessional subscription that the two church bodies have. So the Minneapolis Star Tribune had a headline this week that read, "Lutherans elect first female presiding bishop," as if this was, you know, just what Lutherans do. And it's very frustrating for those Lutherans that are not members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, because they get lumped in with this larger group that frequently has views that are very different than traditional Lutheranism. The story itself, for what it's worth, made it clear that they were referring only to the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. But I was not surprised at the very first comment that they complained and asked for a correction of the headline. The comment read, "Could you please correct your headline? Not all Lutherans. It should either say, you know, the ELCA, or be more specific." And that is a common criticism when you do group all Lutherans together, particularly because in this case they are so different.
What do you think would have been a better headline then?
Well, same as what you see with all other with other groupings. You know, you'll specify that it's a Lutheran group or something. When the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has a meeting, you'll just see a modifier that it's a Lutheran group, or some other modifier that explains that it's not generally global Lutherans doing something. So just to make that clear would have been helpful.
Molly, why do you think many of these stories covering this churchwide assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America tended to focus on sex and religion?
The media are obsessed, monomaniacally obsessed, you might say, with sex and religion. It is the number one story they like to cover, and particularly about homosexuality. And so you see this, if you want to get in the news and you're a religious group, you pretty much better be changing your position on your doctrines on sexual teaching, because that is the number one way to get media coverage. And in this case, the ELCA the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has had some changes in doctrine on related to sex and homosexuality. And that is true, and that should be noted. But some readers noticed that there was maybe a little bit too much focus on sex. For instance, the Chicago Tribune had a report on the election of this first female presiding bishop, and right there at the top it said that she had defeated presiding bishop Mark Hansen, who's been at the helm since 2001, overseeing the denomination's tense struggle with issues of human sexuality. Okay, it is true that he was at the helm when they changed their doctrines on human sexuality, and that is a very important point, but it is staggering to notice how much the media focus on that. There are many other issues that have been contentious in the ELCA, you know, not the least of which would be abortion, which is something that many members have fallen away from the ELCA over their refusal to oppose abortion on demand. There are differences on, you know, again, scriptural subscription, how someone is saved, gender-neutral language, position on Israel, what people think about prophecy, gospel reductionism. There are all sorts of major issues that have caused people to leave the ELCA. Homosexuality, embrace of homosexuality is just one of those things. Yet the media only seem to be able to see that point.
One of the biggest angles on this story is that the ELCA has been losing members very steeply, very steadily. Did you see any stories that mentioned that issue?
Well, this is another thing that I think is very interesting. It is true that there is general decline in denominational adherence across the spectrum. It is particularly true among mainline Protestants, and it is precipitous when you look at the ELCA in recent years. You know, people are familiar with the United Church of Christ having steep drop-offs in membership, but the ELCA has always suffered declines ever since its founding 25 years ago. And in the last few years, the declines have really sped up. And again, this is probably dealing with some of those changes that we talked about already. But very few stories actually mentioned that literally, I mean, and not we don't even have all the numbers on this, but literally like 500,000 people left. There were many congregations leaving. I think it's in the hundreds. Yeah, hundreds upon hundreds of congregations have left. And this would be major news if it were a different church body. But people kept on referencing, you know, that they'd been changing their doctrines and acting like it was all sort of, you know, maybe a little contentious, but they didn't give the specifics. And I think it is important to be specific about what the decline is. Another thing I saw that was kind of related to that is that frequently when people become more progressive in their doctrine or change their doctrines in that manner, they like to frame it as if they are becoming a more welcoming place. And I saw a lot of people just sort of reflexively accept that language or not question the point. And I think it would be important for reporters to look at that and say, well, you know, if it's so welcoming, why did these people feel unwelcome, these people who left or these congregations who left? Is it welcoming to all people or is it welcoming, you know, is it welcome to people who are traditional Lutherans? Might be a good question, but maybe just not accepting reflexively this idea that becoming more progressive in your doctrine makes you a more welcoming as opposed to less welcoming place.
Molly, there were stories in both the Associated Press and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette that focused on a visit by a Roman Catholic bishop. Compare and contrast their coverage.
Yeah, I first read the AP piece, and their big blurb from the convention, which was kind of weird, actually, was that a Roman Catholic bishop had visited. And the way they framed it, the way the AP framed it, was that he had told the ELCA specifically that differences over homosexuality were no big deal. Basically, they paled in comparison to the faith that they share. And I thought that was, like, really interesting. I wanted to hear what the actual quote was, because it doesn't sound maybe like what a Roman Catholic bishop would say. And unfortunately, the AP didn't substantiate the quote in any way. When they fleshed out a little bit later, they said that he said that maybe Catholics and Lutherans interpret the Bible differently, but that shouldn't drive them apart, which was also kind of a weird thing to say. Of all the many differences between Roman Catholicism and Lutheranism, interpretation of the Bible is one of them, but it was just a weird thing to say, and I wanted to hear what the actual quote was. Unfortunately, the AP News didn't mention what the quote was, and I was a little bit suspicious about that. Ann Rogers, who's possibly the best religion reporter in the country, but definitely one of the best, at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette has been covering this convention, and she noted that this bishop had received a very warm standing ovation and that he'd brought ecumenical greetings, and he spoke of the Protestant Reformation. It's about to be the 500th anniversary, of course. And he said, she quoted him with actual quotes as saying that this anniversary should be a celebration of our dialogue, even with our differences, and a demonstration of our mutual respect and love for each other, which sounded more, that just sounded believable to me. So I'm still waiting to hear if this Roman Catholic bishop said that differences in doctrines on sexuality were no big deal. But I kind of think that if he actually had said that you'd be getting an actual quote to that effect.
So what's the lesson that the media can learn in its coverage of the churchwide assembly of the ELCA?
Well, one thing I did realize is that it's really important to have sources who can explain the subtext, what's going on in any convention. And I have many reporters who are contacting me, for instance, because I'm Lutheran, although I'm a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, for help on getting the context or the backstory. I can't provide that at all. I don't know any, you know, I don't know about the ELC. I don't know about what their internal battles are. I think it's important to have good sources on the inside, you know, from a variety of perspectives who can kind of say, oh, well, you know, here's what this election of this new person means. Here's why it's significant. And then just remember that you need to put these things in context, in the same way that Anne Rogers put the election of this first female presiding bishop, not just in the context of mainline Protestantism, but also in the context of American Lutheranism. That is helpful for the readers to see, okay, not all Lutherans even have, you know, changed their doctrines on ordination, and also understand the similarities between the ELCA and the Episcopal Church, for instance. Just that kind of additional detail can be very helpful to readers.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a journalist in Washington, D.C. and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Well, when we come back in the last half hour of the program on this Friday afternoon, August the 16th, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, joins us. He has translated the devotional book Meditations on Divine Mercy by Johann Gerhardt, and the church is going to be remembering this 17th century Lutheran theologian tomorrow. We'll remember him today, this Friday afternoon, with Pastor Matt Harrison. So Johann Gerhardt after the break. Folks, we need you to write a iTunes review of Issues, Etc. You can do so very easily. It'll be your chance to win an 8-hour audio DVD of the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference. Find Issues, Etc. at the iTunes store. Click Ratings and Reviews. Write your review. And then send the text of your review to contest@issuesetc.org. The two best reviewers will receive the audio DVD, and we'll announce the winners on Labor Day. We'll be right back. We're giving away two audio DVDs of the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference. That's almost 8 hours of teaching. Here's how you can win. Find the Issues, Etc. podcast at the iTunes store. Click Ratings and Reviews and write a review. Then send the text of your review to contest@issuesetc.org. The two listeners with the best reviews will receive the audio DVD of the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference. We'll announce the winners on Labor Day.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.
This new world was supposed to make women happy, because 50 years ago, everybody knows that women were oppressed, miserable, kept in their homes in cages, wanted something different than they had, and feminism came along to free them.
Suzanne Venker speaking at this year's Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference.
And 40 years later, here's what we have. According to a 2007 report from the National Bureau of Economic Research, quote, as women have gained more freedom, more education, and more power, they have become less happy.
You can listen to Suzanne Venker's presentation, Making the Case Against Feminism, on our new audio DVD from the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues, Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.